Good evening, good morning, whatever time it is, wherever you are, God is right there with you. We want to thank you for being a part of the Sunday School lesson for today. Today, August the 30th, 2020, devotional reading coming from Psalms 32, verses 1 through 19. Background scripture coming from James, the 3rd chapter, 13 through 18. The 5th chapter, verses 7 through 12. And the print passage comes from James, the 3rd chapter, 13 through 18th verse, in the 5th chapter, 7 through the 12th verse. The wisdom, the key verse for today, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to entreat, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Without hypocrisy. James, the 3rd chapter, 3rd through the 17th verse. Our subject for today is Wise Up. Wise Up, the devotion reading we have already given to you. Let us go to our throne. Gracious God, we ask you to assign your Holy Spirit as your firefighter, putting up the sparks of our words before they ignite a firestorm of hurt. We ask you your guidance in everything we do and say. We thank you in advance for helping us along the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Wise Up is our subject for today. And last week's subject was about the tongue. That small item in the mouth there that can start a fire and do so much damage, the tongue. Our subject is Wise Up for today. As a result of experiencing this lesson, the participants should be able to do these things. Explain the value of acting with wisdom from above and with patience in the midst of trials. Repent of actions that have been done out of earthly wisdom and lack of patience. Embrace wisdom from God and seek to demonstrate it consistently and patiently. Today is the 5th Sunday, and we hope that you enjoyed the services coming from Antioch Baptist Church, number 1. Down there in Tonto Springs, where Reverend Pastor Oliver is our pastor. Sister Joyce Oliver is our first lady. And our clerk is Miss Lisa Stalwart. Sunday school is every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. And we hope you will be with us today, sometime today or sometime next week, in listening to this Sunday school lesson. Worship services on 2nd, 4th, and 5th Sunday. This was the 5th Sunday at York Mission and Baptist Church, 45 Church Street, Peterman, Alabama, Tonto Springs, the church where everybody is somebody, and Christ is the head. All right, let us begin. We're going to forego our weekly study. We hope that you have prepared yourself and studied those weekly lessons. Which were coming from, if we turn the page here, they were coming from Matthew, the 24th chapter, verses 3 through 14, wisdom about end time signs. We are experiencing some end time signs now. Tuesday, August the 25th, wisdom for speaking prophetic message. That's come from Jeremiah, 38 chapter, verses 1 through 6. Wisdom in knowing heart without blame, 1 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter, verses 6 through 13. Wisdom in speaking clearly, Matthew, the 5th chapter, 33 through 37. Living carefully with one another, 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, verses 7 through 11. And Saturday, wisdom in the prayers of faith, James, the 5th chapter, verses 13 through 20. And the Sunday school lesson for today, acting wisely with patience and love. James, the 3rd chapter, 13 to 18th verse. The 5th chapter, verses 7 through 12. Let us begin our lesson. Why this lesson matters. Throughout history, many have risked their lives by resisting oppressing reigns through thus saving the lives of others. What motivates a person to defy evil and choose to act for the good of strangers. James compares and contrasts the consequences of using wisdom or righteousness are for evil. I want to remind us during the times of coming up to now in this country, there have been times when other people have risked their lives for others and been in danger of their lives for other people in spite of the situation in which they was in, such as during slavery, such as during the Civil War, during the reign of the Klan, during the Irish and their trials and tribulations, the other people that come to this country, and other people put their lives on the line to battle for people that are not like them, don't look like them, but it's just something about them that have them doing what is right, doing what is right. The lesson in focus. When was the last time, there's a quote poem here I want you to understand, when was the last time you put your life on the line for somebody? When was the last time? Or have you ever put your life on the line for somebody? I have experienced that and have done that, put my life on the line for others. And their life was in danger and mine as well. But I just something in you just had you do what you did. The lesson in focus. Wisdom is not something we can buy or learn from a book. Wisdom is something that we can buy or learn from a book. It is not the same as knowledge. It is lived. God's wisdom is more involved. It comes from a right relationship from Him involving daily walks with the Lord through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. We gain insight into God's will and His desire of how He wants us to live. In his book of illustrations, Tony Evans shared the following story about working towards God's wisdom. Wisdom is a prize only available to people willing to work to find it. Many kids have the memory of prizes in the cereal box. You remember that? At the table on Sunday morning is usually when we usually get cereals on Sunday morning, a special day for breakfast is always the cereal box opening and the prize inside that box. So many beautiful memories that. Wisdom is a prize only available to people willing to work to find it. The prize would always be at the bottom. Many a child would go digging around in the box but be told by their mother to take their hands out. There was this understanding rule among parents that children could not reach in and pull out the prize but had to eat their way to the prize. The prize could not be enjoyed without eating the cereal first. The prize would only be available to the child who did the job of eating first. The prize at the bottom of that cereal box would be easily attainable. God's wisdom is a prize worth having. However, we must eat our cereal, which is this case God's word. God's word is our guide to daily living. Yes, I know we have read many portions of the Bible time and time again. However, the more we read the same thing repeatedly, we gain new insights into God's desire for how He wants us to live. That's because that makes us wiser. He wants us to live. That makes us wiser. The lesson in context. Last week, we focused on James' teaching on taming the tongue. As we mentioned earlier, James 3, verses 1 through 12, we ended the lesson by seeking a way to tame the tongue. In James 3, 13 through 18, we find that way. It is God's wisdom from above. James contrasted the two wisdoms, God's wisdom and worldly wisdom. We know the source of worldly wisdom is the devil. In the closing chapter of this epistle, James shares three central thoughts in verses 1 through 6. He provided a warning to the rich, living the life of luxury and pleasure, who oppress the poor. He next called on his listeners to have patience in suffering. In verse 7 through 12, a part of today's focal scripture, Finally, he closed with a focus on prayer of faith, using the example of Elijah, verses 13 through 20. All right. A powerful lesson in store for us to hear today. Insights. James 3:17 tells us about the positive characteristics of God's wisdom. While God's wisdom is true, leading to peace, worldly wisdom is envious and self-seeking. To show the depth of the goodness of God's wisdom, James used 8 words, phrases to make the point. He was making it clear that God's wisdom is as much different from worldly wisdom as night is from day. The heart of God's wisdom is himself. He is not an aspect of God. It is God's himself. God's wisdom only comes from God. There is no other way to obtain it. When we follow God's wisdom to reign in our lives, we will gain a different perspective on life. God's perspective, as Solomon said in Proverbs 2:6, "For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." The exploration for this lesson. As the beginning of today's lesson, we should quickly recap where we left off last week. We need a cure for the unbridled tongue. How those willing to share to discuss their thoughts this past week about their wow, watch our words activities, you should ask what the common thread was when they did or said that right thing, and when they did, as you share the lesson exposition, keep the following points of emphasis in mind. Number one, you dislike associating with people who are overwhelmingly ambitious or selfish reasons. Oh, look at that. Number two, many people appreciate the role of gentleness, but feel gentleness may be a sign of weakness. How about that? As it comes to mind today, we talk about the political circus and folks are calling people weak and who's strong. Who's weak and who is strong? Make sure that their wisdom is on the right track and determine who is weak and who is strong. Use God's words to determine who's weak and who is strong. Number three, as we mature in our Christian walk, we can wait for a reward from our labor. Unlike children, we appreciate delaying gratification. At the conclusion of this lesson, encourage yourself, your students, and those that are around you. We can triumph over trials and difficulties by seeking divine wisdom through prayers, scripture, study, and at times, consultation with wise and faithful believers. Let's go to the first outline. This is James, the 3rd chapter, 13 through 18. Who is a wise man and endureth with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Oh, man. Look at that. Who is a wise man? Who is a wise man? Look at verse 14. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. Oh, it's coming out of your heart. What's in a man is going to come out. What's in his heart is what is going to come out. When you speak, speak from truth of God's word. Speak from the foundation of God's word. Speak truthfully. Don't speak envious and contrite and contrition of hatred and evil and things like that. Do like Jesus would. Do not use the evil part to bend your ways or bend the ways of people around you because you know it's evil. You know when you speak, whether you speak God's words or you speak false from Satan. You speak from the wisdom of God, from his word, or do you speak from the wisdom of the world, which is from who? Satan. Look at verse number 15. This wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Oh, you know it. I always use the term, kill my dog and I kill your cat. Or you kill my cat, I kill your dog. That's earthly wisdom. Vengeance, revenge, let God do the repaying of evil. You do not have the power to do so. God said, vengeance is mine. Do not do evil for evil. Let's look at verse 16. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Do you see what's happening around us today in this United States of America? Do you see what is happening in this day in the United States of America and around the world with this COVID-19? Do you see what is happening in this world today in schools and out of schools? The killing on the streets, the rioting in the streets, the burning in the street, those marching for peace. Do you see when those come out to march peacefully for a just cause, when those that are evil use that opportunity to usurp what they are doing and do evil and to taint the whole situation? Do you see when people look at what is happening and then take the stance that it's all about evil, that they trying to do no good at all? That's all wrong. You know that is wrong. When those of you that are whatever color you are, whether you're black, whether you're white, Jewish, Gentile, whoever you are, whatever mankind man that you are, you know that there are evil forces using the disparity and the pain of somebody dying and whatever else as an opportunity to riot and burn and buy gas and cans and throw bricks and break bin buildings and burn and loot and steal people property. That's the evilness of the world doing that. That is not God. That is not peace. You choose and know. Do not wonder when they come to you and tell you that all they're doing is folks out there rioting and stealing and killing, and you're going to go strap on your gun and go out and shoot people. That is wrong. You are being used by the devil. Okay? But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceful, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. That's God's word. That's his word. You act like that. You act kindness and gentleness. That's how you act. That's how you march peacefully, asking for your rights to be heard, petitioning the government that your problem or whatever you have, you want it to be heard. Okay? All right? Let's look at verse 18. The fruits of righteousness is sowed in peace of them that make peace. Look at that. The fruits of righteousness is sowed in peace of them that make peace. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Look at that. All right, let's look at some more in regards to this lesson. After extensive teaching on the unbridled tongue in verses 1 through 12, James turns to a focus on personal responsibility in a world of characterized by two wisdom. God is and world, God's and the world, Satan. James turned to a focus on personal responsibility in a world characterized by two wisdoms, God and the Word, God's Word, and God and the world and Satan. God, God's Word, the world, Satan. Two different wisdoms. His teaching in verse 13 through 18 reinforced the writing of the Old Testament, wisdom writing that makes it clear that wisdom is divided into two denominations, God and the world, most of the time in the New Testament. The Greek word translate life is zoe. Instead, it is astrophe, which is focused on how we live rather than the state of nature, state of living. Those who are truly living God's wisdom won't be those who live self-centered lives, envious of others, bad behavior, and things like that. God's wisdom are like water and oil. They don't mix. God and the world's wisdom is like water and oil. They do not mix. Okay? They don't mix. So any evil behavior is the evil of the devil, verse 16. And James provided a thorough presentation of some biblical scholars called the fruit of wisdom, similar to the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22-23. James concluded that his teaching on the two types of wisdom in verse 18, with a reflection on the blessing that wait from those who are peacemakers. James used the word peacemakers as a proxy for those who live in God's wisdom. After all, God's wisdom sows peace, not discord. We will continue with the commentary with James, 5th chapter, verses 7 through 9. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he received the earthly and latter rain. One thing you need to remember about the sins of what is taking place, and the world is battling and under the weight of sin as well. As from all of God's creation and all of the things that he created, it's contaminated with the aspects of men's sins and their actions and how they treat the earth and how they treat the ocean and all those things like that. And they are moaning and groaning under the weight of sin or man's actions. Let's look at verse 8. Be ye therefore patient, stable is your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Be patient, for Jesus Christ's coming draws nigh. The warning signs are all about us. No man knows the hours of the day, but be ye ready at whatever hour it is. Be ready, be prayed, be stayed, be prayed up. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Let's look at the world today and what is taking place and how all the division is taking place. And it's being led by leaders and congressmen and senators and all types of people that's in power that's supposed to be wise people, but they are leading division and things of that nature. Stay focused, stay prayed up, do live like Jesus Christ wants you to live. Don't grumble against one another. Aren't we grumbling against each other? Brothers and sisters, are you still, or you will be judged? The judge is standing at the door, talking about Jesus Christ and his disciples, and Jesus Christ and the people of Christ will be with Jesus during the judging. Let's look at chapter 3. James taught on the importance of believers having patience amid suffering. He used these examples to support his teaching. Farmers, verses 7 through 9. Prophets, verses 10. Job, verses 11. We marvel at his use of an example from practical everyday living, references to the prophets who were greatly revered by the Jewish Christian community, and Job, who had patience even before the advent of the law, while he admonished unbelievers in his teaching on the rich, verses 1 through 6, James next addressed believers. We see these changes as he addressed them as brothers, verse 7. It was time to be patient. They must not forget Jesus' promise of his second coming. In James' first example of patience in action, he focused on the farmers between the fall rain, October and November, and the spring rains, March and April, and the farmers had to play the waiting game. Likewise, believers had to be patient. However, Warren Wiersbe, in his commentary on James, reminded us that the word patient, verse 8, does not mean that they were to sit idly by doing nothing. Rather, the word carries the idea of endurance, bearing the burden of fighting the battle until the Lord come. Believers' patience not only include unbelievers, it also includes those in which God got their reserve nerve. All right. Powerful words indeed. Just look at James, the 5th chapter, verses 10 through 12. Take my brother and the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. When you're suffering and going through pain and trials and tribulations, you must be patient, continually holding on to God's unchanging hand and suffering. God is in charge. God knows what's the need. You just be patient. Keep calling on him. Keep reaching out to him. Keep praying to him. He will hear your call. Behold, we count them happy which endures. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the world, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Y'all know the story of Job, how he was being tested by God. God told Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Satan was going back and forth, up and down, to and fro in the world, seeking whom he may destroy. And God told him, "Have you considered my servant Job?" He knew Job was a solid man that believes in him regardless of what take place. The Lord give it and the Lord take it away, was God. Job was Job saying. Job lost all the things, lost all the things that he had, but God still gave it back to him more so than he had before. The powerful words of God so far as being patient and in trials and tribulations and when you're going through something. Once again, James made his exhortation personally by referring to his listener as brothers in verse 10. He had another example, patient and suffering. This time, James shared about the prophets. To be clear, not at all of God's prophets suffered persecution. However, we know that some did. Jeremiah come to mind as one who suffered at the hands of his fellow Jews. Collectively, the prophet represents faith and action resulting in patience and suffering. James began his writing in chapter 1, exhorting his listeners to consider the joy and the lessons learned from suffering. James 1, 2 through 4, he repeated that same sentiment in verse 11. He then quickly concluded the example of Job, verse 11. Job's experience tyranny, suffering, mind, body, and spirit. It can't get worse than that. Another suffering, mind, the head, the body, and the spirit, suffering. What a powerful way to suffer. All three of your entities that you are well familiar with, you're suffering in. However, Job experienced Trinity blessings after his period of suffering. It should not have been a surprise to Job's experience. Why James reminded his listeners God's compassion and mercy. Verse 11, that's just what God does for those who trust in him completely. James concluded this section of his writing with a prohibition of swearing, taking oaths. His admonition drew from the sermons on the Mount, Matthew 5, 33 through 37. Since oaths were okay, the problem was people frivolously using oaths to try to convince others that they are telling the truth. Here, what frivolously mean is not real, faking, just not real. Or you're just making use of it just for to try to prove that you are right about something. You need to be truth and roof and rooted in Jesus Christ. There would be no need for such oaths. People would just take people at their word. All right. Oh, this has been a powerful lesson. We hope that you, this is a shorter version of normally the lesson that we usually do. We didn't do the weekly daily guidance for this just because we did not have the time permitted to us to do so in the hours of last night. The lesson for Sunday, September the 6th, is when love is lost. The devotional reading comes from Psalms 105. Verses standards 1 through 6, 16 through 22. And background scripture is Genesis 37. Printed text is Genesis 37, 2 through 11, 23. That's 24a and 28. When love is lost. When love is lost. Don't forget to study the lessons, guides for home daily reading. It's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. All powerful studies that prepare you for the Sunday school lesson, which is when love is lost. Let us pray. God of love, we ask you to go with us in our times of suffering. We know that we must stay prayed up, for such times. We ask you, Lord, for your wisdom to give us the right discernment in this evil world. We trust in you to guide us safely in our daily walk. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for listening for this abbreviated version of the Sunday School lesson for August the 30th, August the 30th, 2020. Wise up. Wise up. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, with peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruit, and without partiality and without hypocrisy. Do not use the wisdom of the word of the world. Do not use the wisdom of the world. Use the wisdom of God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you. Use the wisdom of God's word. Thank you. See you next time.